greet all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I greet all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I don't know how many of you know the background story to the song that is being sung. This gentleman, I'm told, he had lost a few of his family members, had lost the wife, was on a deathbed, and later after he passed on, they actually found this song underneath the way he had written it while he was on the deathbed. Isn't it amazing that one can go through so much but still have so much confidence in the Almighty God? Isn't it such a beautiful song? It says, just bring up the lyrics because you attempted to sing it. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. And oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We carry some things, but not everything. Certain things we often would want to think that maybe God has got no interest. He has an interest. He has an interest, believers. He has an interest in every aspect of our life. Amen. Well, I greet all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you, musicians. We'll turn our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1, verse 40 till verse 49. John 1, from verse 40 to 49. If found, you can say amen.
Amen.
It says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to the Christ. He brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Shall we bow our heads? Gracious Heavenly Father, you've been invited to this meeting because it is your meeting.
Yes.
Lord, we are the subjects in this meeting, but you are the object of worship in this meeting. Lord, we believe that you would speak to your people. I would imagine that should they walk through this treacherous weather to come to the house of the Lord, in no way should that be taken for granted. It shows that there is a certain degree of seriousness between you and them, dear God. And if they have come this way, you have made a promise that wherever two or three are gathered and are gathered in your name, you made a personal commitment that you will be in their midst. Here are your people. They've gathered around your name. May the Holy Spirit come and minister to their needs, dear God. Those that need deliverance, may they be granted deliverance. May those that need healing be granted healing. Those that would want to be spiritually rejuvenated, may you grant them the spiritual rejuvenation. Whatever needs that are in the building, may you grant them, dear God. But Heavenly Father, we have just come under the spotlight of the Word. And we believe that the Word will search our hearts. We believe that the Word, wherever we do not measure up to the Word, you will find it within you and to grant it grace for us to come to that level where we can meet the standard of the Word. Dear God, our prophet said, if we ever come to the point where we think we've got nothing to repent of, we are in a much worse condition than a sinner in the street. I believe every man this evening, all of them, they have a desire and say, God, speak to me. If there is something that has got to change, it has to be changed tonight. Because we have entered a zone of state of emergency. Because this is a home-going time, dear God. May the Holy Spirit move in an unhindered manner. May it move from city to city, ministering to your people, dear God. You know their shortcomings. You know things that they battle with. But I believe that through this service, somebody will walk away and say, from now, I will never be the same. There's going to be a change in my life. There's going to be a change of attitude towards your way. That is our desire, dear God. We are not here to impress one another. There are so many gatherings that we could go to where we would impress one another. We are here because we want to impress the Almighty God. Our brother, our sister next to us is not the standard. The weight is the standard. And dear God, for those that may not be here, we send a prayer their way. May you continue to create a thirst in them to know the agency of the hour, that it is a home-going time. Every service is critical. Every tape is critical. Every scripture is critical. Every sermon is critical. Every song is critical. We are living in a moment where at any time people can disappear from the face of the earth. And I say, God, if there is something that you need to say to prepare me tonight, may you say it, dear God. If it hurts me, let it hurt me. But I know that as long as I'm right with you, dear God, because, Lord, we realize how many people are going to be disappointed at the day of judgment. My prophet say a prostitute would not be disappointed because she knows she was a prostitute. A drunkard would not be disappointed, for he knows he was a drunkard. But the people that knew the right things to do, and they did not do those right things, is the very people that would be disappointed. But tonight I say, let the judgment begin in the house of the Lord. We are here, we are available, dear God, because we don't want to appear before the white throne judgment. And I say, Satan, these are God's people. These are God's people. They've been predestinated by the Almighty God. You need not in any way to have a hold on them. Jesus Christ died on the cross for them. And he declared them that this is the property of the Almighty God. And I say, Satan, get your dirty hands off them. These are the redeemed that must show in the end time that God is not a liar. That must be the overcomers. We want to commit the service to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. While you take your seats, and I remain standing. Amen. Now, a couple of minutes, we just loved good old songs that I was listening to while I'm in the office. Songs like When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, Hallelujah,
Amen.
I will be there. Amen. How many know that there are, especially old-timers, there are certain songs that really touch you deeper? because they were baked through the oven of time. Amen. Are we together? So we are very much thankful to see all of you this evening. I think Sunday we had a good time. Hallelujah. We have a good time, the preserver of life. And then the other time we had a good time, the power of revelation. I think God was just doing something special in our midst. Amen. Never take the service for granted.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God designed the services so that he could come and speak to you.
Amen.
I want to speak on a simple title this evening called Eureka. It's actually a Greek word. And then Eureka is being mentioned in the scripture that we have read, especially when you read it in King James Version. Don't be distracted by the video. I will talk to you about the video. Just concentrate on me for a while. Now, on the scripture that we have read, they say we have found him. That found, when you go and trace it back into the Greek language, it means Eureka. Eureka, it means I have found it. I have found it. Eureka, your dictionary will say it is a joy or satisfaction when one finds or discovers something. It's more like I don't know how many have ever misplaced their car keys.
Amen.
And you frantically search the house, you go up and down, and all of a sudden you take a seat and maybe you are sipping a cup of coffee. All of a sudden, right when everybody now have forgotten about the keys, then you just say, aha, meaning the penny drops, now you remember where the key is. The key was never lost. It was just lost in your mind. Hallelujah. It had to be found in your mind. So when you say, aha, the young generation, they will call it an aha moment. It is when the penny drops or a realization strikes you where you have made a discovery that gives you a satisfaction. Amen. How many here have ever tried to maybe unriddle something and you took time thinking about ways to tackle it, but you couldn't find ways. But while in the middle of the night when you are sleeping and something, just the solution comes to you. How many has that ever happened to you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We call that your Eureka moment. Your I have found it moment. I found the solution moment. Are we together? Furthermore, it refers to a common human experience of suddenly understanding a previously incomprehensible problem or concept. You had this thing that you were looking at, trying to understand it, but you couldn't understand it. But all of a sudden, it strikes, a realization strikes you. Then you've got the totality understanding of that problem. Then it gives you a satisfaction. Amen. I don't think anyone has ever come into the message genuinely so without experiencing the Eureka moment.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Eureka moment. I have found it. I have found him. That realization when it strikes you. Amen. Now, so that maybe I demonstrate what I'm going to talk about, so that I bring all of you up to speed, they are just going to play a clip for me. Maybe just before they play, let me just give you a background. This is a baby that had never had sound before in his life, and later through the help of the hearing aid, the doctors were able to help the baby to hear the mother's voice for the first time. So I want you to observe the expression on the baby's face, and I would hope that that's exactly how it happened to you the first time when you heard the voice of God in your life. Hallelujah. Just play it for us. Should we do a countdown? 3, 2, 1, 0. Just play. Just press stop, rewind it, play it. I would imagine if you've got sound, it would be good if you've got sound. VSL, I don't know the program that we might be using, it may not be having a challenge. If it doesn't come right, I'm gonna leave it. It should play. Maybe while I'm talking, you can just save it on a memory stick, transfer it to your computer. Maybe my computer's got issues, I don't know. Amen. But you understand what I want to talk about. Just bring the lights when you are ready. You can just signal to me. I wanted you to see what we are speaking about. Are we together?
Amen.
Now, when you look at science, in general, the scientific world has had what we call their Eureka moments. I was reading about a man called Isaac Newton. He was sitting under the tree. While he was sitting under a tree, a wind blew off an apple off the tree. It hit him on the forehead. Right as soon as the apple hit him on the forehead, then he had the Eureka moment. That's when he discovered the law of gravity. Are we together? I'm simply saying, you look at a very simple concept or a simple incident where an apple falls off the tree and falls on this man. But through that, then he had more discoveries and he brought this concept of the law of gravity. Are we together? Another one is one of the Greek mathematicians whereby they had given an artist to construct a throne or a crown for the king, and the king wanted to know that the gold that had given to the artist, in what way was it not replaced by silver? And this man, we are told that the king told him that you need to go and check whether I have not been robbed of gold. Then he was struggling and saying, how am I going to prove that the entire gold was used in the construction of the crown? And later, as he got into the bath, he realized that as soon as he got into the bath, his weight affected the level of water. And he realized right there, he realized that he can use that to check the body density. Are we together? So I'm giving you an example of moments in people's life where they had the Eureka moment, and that led to greater discovery. But before I get anywhere, I want to say, from right the book of Genesis, or from the existence, the initial existence of human race until today, there's never been any great discovery like when a man discovered the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm saying they might have discovered the internet, but that is not the greatest discovery. They might have discovered how to come up with the automobile. That is not the greatest discovery. They might have come up with advanced medical technology where they can be able to do a heart transplant. That is not the greatest discovery. The greatest discovery within the human race is when one sinner recognizes and accepts the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you agree with me on that one? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, maybe just to bring it to up to speed, Brother Branham speaks about a young boy who had been raised in America. They called it the countryside. This side would call it the rural side. This young boy had been raised there, and time came where he and the mother had to visit the grandmother in town. When they got to town, Brother Branham tells me in the message of identification, he says the boy walked through into the house, and as he walked into the house, they closed the door, and there was a big mirror behind the door. And it says the boy got bored, and he was just moving around aimlessly in the house, just trying to look at the house. And as soon as he went past the mirror, he realized that he saw another boy going past the mirror. Then he took a few steps backwards. Then he was able to see this fellow, and he wanted to make friends with the fellow that he saw in the mirror because he had never seen the mirror before. And then when he got there, he started making some body signals, gestures. And as soon as he raised the hand, the boy in the mirror raised the hand. As soon as he raised the foot, the boy in the mirror raised the foot. And right there, he screamed at the top of the voice and said, "Mommy, it's me." Yeah. Are we together? And for that boy, it was the Eureka moment. There is a discovery that he discovered at that moment that gave him the satisfaction. I remember even myself, there was a time where I moved from church to church, from doctrine to doctrine, but one day I came in contact with the mirror of the weight in the end time. Are we together? And as soon as I went past, I realized that there was an image that looked like me. And I looked into the image, I raised my hand, the image raised the hand. I raised my foot, the image raised the foot. And right there, I screamed at the top of my voice. I say, "Father, it is I." How many have ever had that experience? What was the image? It is your theophany. Are we together? And when we say you are a real believer, you must have come to a spot where you have seen the other image that looks exactly like you. And from that time, I never got away from that image. Everything that I did, I observed what that image did. Whatever that image did, I followed the example of that image. If that image went to church, I went to church. If that image was blessed by the soul, I was blessed by the soul. If that image said amen to the way, I said amen to the way. Brother, I want to tell you there is more to you than what meets the eye. There is the image that the devil can never mar, can never spoil. That image can never be broken. And that image, what is happening? It is your celestial body. Are we together? It gave us the aha moment. We stopped. And let me tell you something. Imagine if the boy that had come to visit the grandmother, he sees himself in the image, and somebody comes later and say, "But that's not you." Amen. Hallelujah. But the boy will say, "No, but it's me. I can see the trousers that look exactly like me. Hallelujah, like mine. Are we together? The hand looks like mine." There's no way that you can convince that boy any other way after he said, "Mommy, it is I." Are we together? What does it mean? It means as soon as you come in contact with the message of the hour and you see yourself in the mirror of the way, no internet website will change you based on what you saw in the mirror of the way. If you have never seen yourself in the mirror of the way, internet site will change your mind. Are we together? What is the mirror of the way? In the beginning was the way. The way it was with God, and the way it was God. And the same way that was God became a human flesh and walked here on earth. And my prophet said the bride and the groom had never been separated. That means when he became flesh, I became flesh. That means when he went to Calvary, I went to Calvary. When he hung on the cross, I hung on the cross. When they took a spear and pierced his side, I came by the wayside. Are we together? So no one will ever separate us from the revealed word of the hour. Are you here, folks? Brother Branham says, maybe before I read this quotation is exactly what how he would say, how he spoke about a farmer that came and came across the eagle nest and picked up the eagle's egg and took it home and went and put it within, and just put it within among the chicken eggs. Remember, all it needs is just a certain temperature to hatch. It doesn't matter who creates the temperature. So the chicken came and created the temperature, and in no time the egg was hatched. The chicks came out, and as well as the little funny-looking fellow came out. And right there, Brother Brem, when he tells us about that story, he says right there, the nature of the eaglet began to come to the surface. It began not to understand certain things that were naturally understandable to the chickens. Are we together? It began to have certain aspirations that even mother chicken never had. Are we together? It began to come and bring certain messages that stand to them in the chicken barnyard. Are we together? I mean, one morning it says, I just feel like us scratching the ground is a waste of time. I need fresh meat. Hallelujah. I think that must have created a discomfort within the camp. Why would you want to eat fresh meat? Who do you want to kill? Are we together? But what's happening? It was the nature of the eaglet in the eaglet taking the preeminency within the eaglet. Are we together? While they thought that they had closed that gap, one morning the eaglet wakes up and says, today I don't feel like we need just to walk around on the ground. Why don't we just spend the day in the sky? It was a gospel that had never been preached before, and it made the mother chicken to be uncomfortable. Are we together? But one day, Brother Brennan said, the mother eagle remembered that there was one egg that was missing, and she began to fly down the valleys, began to fly up the mountain looking for that eaglet. And as she was moving around, she came across that chicken barnyard. Are we together? When she came across the chicken barnyard, already down there, the nature of the eaglet had taken hold of the eaglet. Are we together? Now, when this eaglet heard the sound, which was not an uncertain sound, it was a certain sound, it made the eaglet to start wondering, what is happening there? I know I'm familiar with this cry. I know this cry. I recognize this cry from somewhere. How many message believers remember the time when a man of God came and said, good evening, friend? The tone of that voice, it opened up certain things in you. You said, I recognize this voice from somewhere, but you were never in Kentucky. You were never in America. You never flew to America, but you recognized that voice. Where did you recognize that voice from? You recognized that voice from eternity. But here, then you had the Eureka moment and say, I have found it. Oh, goodness. Can you imagine the little eaglet in the chicken barnyard? It must have had a revival. Maybe it might have wanted to convince few of the brethren and say, we need to fly up there. But they couldn't understand, how is it going to happen? He says, but we need to get up there. Look, they are having a good time up there. Are we together? And later on, because when the deep calleth, there's got to be a deep to respond to the call. God will always do something this side, but will do something on the other side to correspond with what he's doing on the other side. The God that preaches here is the same God that says amen to the way, because the deep calleth to the way. Are we together? And I can imagine the eaglet must have said, what must we do? And it asked the mother eagle, well, how can I come up there? And the brother Brahman said, the mother eagle said, just you whatever you need, I cannot give it to you. You were born with it, my child. It is innate. It is in you. Oh, Brother Brahm said, whatever we need for the journey is already in us. Oh, the rapture is already in us. The healing is already in us. Deliverance is already in us. Whatever we need, it's already in us. This evening, by faith, receive it. Are you here, church? arise there.
My man.
The eaglet did not get a new set of wings. It's the same wings that had already been there. But it was waiting for the Eureka moment. It was waiting for that epiphany, that moment, that realization, that goodness. I just thought that this was a decoration. But as soon as the mother eagle said, just flip your wings. Oh my. I can imagine the eagle must have flipped to this side. And he began maybe to be in suspense. And he flipped to this side. And it was in suspense. It must have said to the chicken, I feel good. Hallelujah. But the chickens didn't understand. Do you remember the time when God found you in a chicken vineyard and spoke the revealed weight of the hour to your ear? And you recognize the word of God to be the eagle's food. Right there you heard from your theophany. Are you here? Don't forget your Eureka moments. Tipping moments. Tipping points in your life where God just open up more light. More revelation. Are we together? I want us to look at the chart. Having a revival. Hallelujah. What happened? You can stop it, brother. The baby could not hear anything. Was born in that way. And they just put a gadget on the baby's ear. And through that gadget, she's able to decode the voice of the mother. And now from a boy that was crying to a boy that hears the sweetest voice, which is the mother's voice. And now you can see the countenance, you can see the face of the baby changing. Do you remember that time where you were grumpy, where you did not have the joy, but one day God came and you heard the still small voice? And what was the gadget that made you to hear the still small voice? It was the message of the hour. When that message spoke, it changed your countenance. From where you were despondent to where you were now encouraged. Are you here, church? But the problem over time, that channel gets clogged up by a lot of things. Imagine after the boy had heard the voice like that, and he turns around later on and the mother speaks and doesn't care what the mother says. From where it was excitement to hear the voice to where it says, oh goodness, yeah, the mother is very strict. Certain things they clock up our spiritual hearing. And my question is, do you see, based on what the boy heard, it changed the mood of the boy? If you no longer have joy, I'm asking, what are you listening to? If you no longer get blessed by the message, what are you listening to? How many things have clogged up our spiritual hearing? Folks, let's be honest. We need to paint the picture for what it is. People don't have the joy of salvation anymore. Worshipping God has become duty. It's about ticking the boxes. Are you here, church? But God has never said we need to tick the boxes. God wants us to have the joy of salvation. He wants us to love worshipping Him, to appreciate worshipping Him. Are you still with me? Amen.
Now, I'll just take you through some of the significant Eureka moments in the Bible. There's a group, Brother Bram says the Magi came from the Medes Persia. He says when you go and find in the book of Old Testament, you would find that they had made Daniel to be their chief. He was training them in terms of looking into the zodiac and interpreting the heavenly bodies. So this gentleman had been there. Brother Branham says they knew the position, every star that was within the reach of a human eye, they were familiar with that star. They knew the positions of the heavenly bodies, the stars in heaven. And any slight change or a position of a star, they knew exactly what the spiritual meaning was. What does it mean? It meant that they were diligent. Every now and then, they would go and search in the zodiac, check the positions. But there was one moment where they saw a light that looked like that it was a peculiar light. It did not conform to the galaxy system. It stood out. And when they observed, Brother Bram takes it further, he says it was like the heavenly bodies converged and formed the star. And Brother Bram says, as soon as the heavenly bodies converged, right here, these men were coming in one accord. Are you here, church? So it tells you that the unity, you cannot drive the unity here. You've got to drive the unity there. Then it must be reflected here. If there is no unity there, there will not be unity here. Are you saying? Don't just say, I need unity. Unity based on what? How can two work together unless they agree? I know there is an appetite in message cycles where we say, we need unity. But for goodness, we cannot just have unity on a blank paper here. There are conditions for unity. Are you here, church? I say there are conditions for unity. How can two work together unless they agree? Yeah, folks. I, as a pastor, cannot just say, I want to have a unity with a pastor that has got an extramarital affair. Unity based on what? Young people, hear me out. Not unity for the sake of unity. Check how they dress before you speak about unity. Are you together? You know that it was, remember it was Jehoshaphat and Ahab, they came into alliance. And Brother Bram say it was not blessed by God. Are we together? So check. And Jehoshaphat kept on saying, let us check, inquire at the mouth of God for today. Are we together? Are you here, people? Hallelujah. We are not all going into the rapture. Those are sad news that I've got to report. We are not all going into the rapture. Only the Holy Ghost filled bride is going into the rapture. Yes, I want to make you feel uncomfortable for a purpose. Yes, not all are going in. Only the Holy Ghost filled bride is going into the rapture. And those, as I'm speaking right, there is an invisible union among them wherever they are. Whatever they preach is what the prophet preached. Whatever the prophet preached is what the Spirit preached. They cannot contradict the prophet. They cannot contradict the Spirit that used to the prophet. Are we together?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Because sometimes we've got appetite for alliances. But we forget that alliances cost Israel more. When they were on their way to the promised land, they came across the Moabites. The Moabites were a great nation. They had a prophet that spoke to God. Hear me out. He did not speak to ancestors. He spoke to God. And God responded. Bileam spoke to God. And God could speak to Bileam. But yet, Bileam was the false anointed. Bileam worshipped. Moab, they had seven altars. Israel had seven altars. They offered sacrifice. Israel offered sacrifice. They had a prophet. Israel had a prophet. Their prophet spoke to God. The same God that the prophet spoke to is the same God that Moses spoke to. But yet, others had the pillar of fire. And others did not have the pillar of fire. Are you here, people?
Amen.
My young people, are you here? Amen. I had a person that I was very close to who wanted to marry from... There's a group that was led by a woman called Sister Hicks. You know her? Sister Hicks is one of the ladies that left Branham Tabernacle when Brother Branham refused to ordain women. They've got the biggest church even here in South Africa. Goodness, sometimes they even dress better than Message Believers. I've seen them, quite a lot of them. Now, this brother wanted to marry among them. And I was adamant. He was close to me. I said, you are not marrying there. You cannot marry a Moabite. And I was shocked. The following morning, I got a call from the same sister. I said, I understand you say I'm a Moabite. I said, hurtful as it is, but it is the truth. Because you are like us. You dress like us. They don't believe in television. They live a holy life. They conform to... If you walk into their church, I've been to their church once, you can think it's a Message church. But it's only when they begin to teach where you realize that it is different. Are we together? And then he decided to get married to her, but the marriage never worked out. Because why? Two can not walk together. Unless they agree.
Amen.
And you ask me, was the sister wearing long dress? Yes, she was wearing long dress. Did she not believe in television? She did not believe in television. She was not wealthy at all. But however, when it came to the diet was different.
Amen.
And the marriage never worked out.
Amen.
Are you the young people?
Amen.
Amen. Now, the measure is, I can imagine when they looked through whatever instrument that they had during the time and how they looked at the behavior of the heavenly bodies, how they came together and formed the star. I think right there, they must have wondered, what does it mean? Then they began to see the star moving in a certain direction. Now, for them, they had to follow the star. They wanted to check the behavior of this heavenly light. Where was it going? And as they were moving and following it, then it went first. We know that it went to the house of Herod. When they got there, it disappeared. And after their discussion and told them that they are here to worship the king that is born, because to them it represented that the Messiah was born. To them it was the Eureka moment. You can imagine after so many years, the way they have been studying those heavenly bodies, when that came together and they got the meaning of what it meant. I guess when they were there, they must have nudged at each other, looked at each other with a new realization. We have found it. To them, it was the Eureka moment. And even them going to the king's place, the palace, it never took the effect of their Eureka moment. As soon as they were there, it disappeared. But when they came out, it reappeared. And for them, it kept on that Eureka moment. I have found it. Have you ever met somebody who has found something and they are certain about it? You cannot change them on their discourse. Are we together? They are adamant, they are consistent, because they are convinced that it is the right thing. Are we together? Now, from the text that we just read here, the Bible says he first found Simon. And after he had found Simon, he changed his name. And the following day, he findeth Nathanael. And when he found Nathanael, he simply said to Nathanael, follow me. Folks, these are, you can check, you can decode from the conversation that Philip had with Nathanael, that these were studious men. These men were there searching the scrolls. Yeah. These were their, I can imagine they were like us. Are we together? It's like us, whenever we hear that the earthquake is about to strike California, we go and check what the prophet says about it. Are we together? Every world event, we know it can be made clear by prophecy. Are we together? So for them, everything that moved during their time, they went to the prophecy so that it can make the event to be clearer. And I believe that many a time, they must have missed it a lot of times. Because Brother Brim said, during that time, there was a lot of impersonation of Messiah. Before God sent the real thing, the devil sent an impersonation. But while they were there, checking all, checking quotations, checking the scroll, checking what Isaiah said, checking what Moses said, checking all the prophecies around the Messiah. But all of a sudden, then Philip findeth Jesus, and Jesus says, only two ways, follow me.
Yeah.
Come on, Jesus, are you not going to show me a quotation? Are you not going to show me in the scroll, where does this mean in the scroll? But let me tell you something. When he speaks, there is an effect when he speaks. Are you here, church? When, how he spoke to Philip, Philip realized it cannot just be an ordinary man that speaks in this manner to me. This effect, it has to be a messianic effect upon a believer. And right there, then Philip, you know, with joy. Because when you found something, you call your friends, you want to tell them about it.
Yes, sir.
Are you a church?
Amen.
And that's where I've got a problem today. Believers no longer get excited and call people about things that they are reading. What happened to the joy of salvation? What happened to the time when you were broke, but you did not care about airtime? You had to share with this sister about them. Now you even have WhatsApp that are free of charge, but we only talk nonsense on WhatsApp. I said it. Yeah, folks. Now, this Philip, after he found him, he was excited and said, I need to find my mate. And I can imagine him running down the valley, going up the mountain, coming on the other side, and finding Nathanael. And Nathanael was there, meditating on the scroll, and said, the great prophet Moses said, I will raise a prophet like unto me. God said so through the lips of Moses. And he was there, meditating, that the Isaiah says, behold, a vision shall conceive. He was meditating on those scriptures. Unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is given. A child is born. His name shall be a mighty counselor, everlasting. He was there meditating on this thing. I can imagine he must have wondered, when shall be the fulfillment of this scripture? While he was there meditating about him, the brother came from nowhere and said, we have found him. Oh, those were breaking news, my brother. Imagine such an interruption. Nathanael must have stood up and said, what do you mean? What do you mean? He says, the one that Moses and the prophet wrote about, I found him.
Yes.
I think Nathanael must have stood up because he was skeptical after he had seen what had happened with those that they thought were the Messiah. He said, where did you find him? He says, it's Jesus from Nazareth. Nazareth was like Hebrew today.
Yeah.
It was the most defiled city. Nathanael realized and said, no, brother. The scripture speaks about Bethlehem. Why are you now bringing Nazareth? The quotations, they don't gel. They don't dovetail. But, you know, after you have found something, you don't have time for debate.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He said to Nathanael, say, come and see.
Amen.
Not debate. I don't have time for God. Come and see. I can imagine Nathanael was coming there, walking very slowly behind Philip, very skeptical. But as they were coming there, that eye, that penetrative eye of the Messiah, that eye that can look beyond the surface, that eye that can check the secrets of the heart, that eye looked at Nathanael, said, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guide. That connected with something in the innermost of Nathanael. He realized, no one can speak to me in this manner. there was a special effect. Things were never the same. And he's still speaking tonight, folks. I say he's still speaking tonight. Don't close your eyes. He's still speaking tonight. And he can speak, penetrate, go beyond your natural ear and come in contact with the genie of life in the innermost. And right there you receive goodness. Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no kind. Right there, Nathaniel, from a position where he was walking like this skeptical to a position where he bowed down and said, thou art the king of Israel. What happened? He had a Eureka moment, an epiphany moment, a new realization strike him. And Jesus says, if you believe because of these things, what would happen when you see the Son of Man returning back to where he was? Are we together? One day he was with the disciples. He looked at them and said, who do men say I am? And there were speculations. Messiah, I remember when I was going to the market, I overheard people say, you are Elijah. Oh, I heard, my wife says, she heard other women saying, you must be one of the prophets. And right there he said, but who do you say I am? And right there, he can never ask you a question unless he's willing to give you an answer. When a teacher asks you a question, he knows that you already know the answer. Who do men say I am? And folks, right here, I have got to drive it home. The message was not to introduce Brother Brennan. It was to introduce Christ. Knowing a messenger without knowing the one that sent the messenger is the greatest tragedy. I will say that. A lot of people know Brother Brennan, but they don't know who, the one that he was meant to introduce. Brother Brennan, you heard on Sunday, God is the preserver. And Brother Brennan says that my objective is to get a relationship established between the people and Christ. I hear, folks, the books must lead you to him. The sermons must lead you to him. The songs must lead you to him. If they don't lead you to him, something is wrong. There must be misinterpretation somewhere. Because why? Even the messenger, he says, Christ is making himself known in the church. Are you still with me? And right there, Peter, when he said, who do men say I am? Brother Branham says, a channel opened. An answer came through the supernatural channel. It was not Peter's answer. It was a heavenly answer dropping in the heart of a believer. Then I bring a quotation in Christ as the mystery of God revealed. What was once God's great mystery secret that God had before the foundation of the world, he has dropped it down into the heart of the believer. The secret that was in the head has now come into the heart. Why is the heart the body? What was the in the head is now in the body. Greater works shall he do. What is happening? The spirit that led to the head is the spirit that is leading the body. If the body, if the head went through death, the body will go through death. And if the body, if the head rose from the dead, the body will rise from the dead. I'm simply saying, check where Jesus went. It will show you where you need to go. And Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Right there, I can imagine the atmosphere must have changed. There must have been a holy hush. And he said, Simon Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven revealed that to you. You cannot get a Eureka moment from a preacher. You cannot get it from a debate. But God has got to open a channel and drop down that revelation into your heart until you say, now I have it. Hallelujah. Everyone here has got a frequency that you are tuned to. And through that frequency, God is sending messages. He's sending inspiration, blessings, and everything. Make sure that that frequency is not locked up. Are we together? Let me come here. Job, he wondered when calamity after calamity befell him. He wondered until he said, if I knew where God stayed, I would go and knock at his door so that he and I can speak like a man speaking to another man across the table. He had so much uncertainty. He wondered, he looked at nature. He saw what nature, how nature moved and evolved, and he wondered what is happening to a human being. But one day when he was on the ash heap, friends had turned their backs on him. Folks, if you worship because you've got friends, you're not gonna go far. Friends come and go. Are we together? If you worship because there is a church, churches they rise and they fall. Oh, that is the nature of it. Are we together? Because God is not building churches, He's building individuals. Are we together? I cannot guarantee you how this church will be 15 years down the line. But I can guarantee you how I will be 15 years down the line. Because God is building me into a stature of a perfect man. And it's not a group affair, it's an individual affair. Are you here, church? And where is it here? Let me drop it right there. If you are coming here looking for role models, you are in for a shock. God is the only role model that you must look out for. He is the only standard. Are you here, church? Some people, they think that God is raising churches. Churches are going to fall. Out of churches, God is bringing out a bride. Men and women that walk by substance, faith, separated from the things of the world. They walk by substance. Those individuals are going into the rapture. Not the church, the bride. Did you hear me? This is a separating time, if I can put it that way. You must check where you are according to the word of God. Don't check. This is not a church affair. It's an individual affair. This is not a family affair. It's an individual affair. You can tell your wife and say, if you're not going, I am going. You can tell your husband, if you're not going, I am going. It's an individual affair. Amen. And why I put it like that? So that the discouragement must never come from the person that is very close to you. If they don't worship, you worship. Revelation came to you. You've seen yourself, you have place in the body. Amen. Are you still with me? Now Job was there on the ash heap. A man of renowned wisdom. Where young people used to come. I can imagine Job was a quotable preacher. Young men would listen to him. If they had social media, they would go and post on social media, Brother Job. He was a man that they esteemed high. That's what he said. Are we together? But later, towards the end, we see Job was there isolated. Church could not understand him. Friends could not understand him. The wife could not understand him. The pastor couldn't understand him. He was there on the ash heap. Who said if the pastor doesn't understand you, the church doesn't understand you, friends don't understand you, stop worshiping God? Maybe you have not read about Job. He was there on the ash heap and he was just wondering, why are things happening in the manner that they are happening to me? What have I done to deserve the ordeal that I'm going through? He was there having mind battles and brothers had already told him, you are a secret sinner, you need to confess. Because some people, they've got the myopic revelation about God. They think that you, when you've got plenty, you are blessed. folks, riches mean nothing. Poverty means nothing. Material gain means nothing. Whether you have or have, it does not mean anything. It depends what happened on the inside. But believers were there and said, there is no way. I can imagine after they had shared with him, they must have sung Jehovah Jireh. He keeps on doing great things. Hallelujah. And they said, but brother, there is no way. After we worship God like this, things go haywire the way they are. You are married. And some people, they think that if you are divorced, in the message, it means that you are not spiritual. Oh, goodness, people, help me say amen to that. That's a carnal interpretation. I will say that it does not mean that one is less spiritual. It may even mean that one is more spiritual and has taken sides with Jesus and say, I will not go that way. I will remain with my spiritual husband. Yes, sisters. Because some people, whenever they see a divorce, they say, that means they were not worshiping. Who told you that?
Praise the Lord.
Some looked at Job and saw that the wife was not there. They said, brother. Brother. They must have had quotations and say, but look at our father Abraham. Oh, they must have said, whoever divorced. They must have picked up certain people and say, this is what happened. But Job was there wondering. But while he was there, wondering, despondent, discouraged, withdrawn, down. When he was there, as an outcast, you wouldn't want to be seen with Job. Your brothers wouldn't want to visit him. Because it would mean that you brothers know something. Why are you friends with that man? But while Job was there, on the ash heap, the whole body itching. While he was there, Brother Bram say, a vision opened. And when a vision opened, Job was elevated to see the Messiah before he was born. And when he saw, he rejoiced and said, can you imagine when you were on the edge heap? No one wanted to listen to you. And when that you wreck a moment struck him, he must have stood up and run down the street and say, I know it. I know it. I know it. What are you talking, old man? Are you a fanatical? I know it. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Even though the skin worms can destroy this body, but yet in my flesh, I shall see my Redeemer. That revelation did not come in a church. That revelation never came from friends. It never came from the pastor. It came on the edge here when Job was alone. I don't care where you are. You may be alone, but as long as you have a revelation, you have a eureka moment, you can rise up and say, devil, I know it. I know it. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I shall see him with my own eyes, not another eyes, the same eyes. Job had a eureka moment. We need the people today to have their eureka moment. The devil might have kicked you this way and that way, but this is a moment of realization. You are a son and a daughter of God. You come from eternity. You are on time. You are on your way back to eternity. There is no demon that will stop you. I said it, there is no demon that will stop you. You are going to heaven. There is no demon that will stop you. You must have that realization. Because without you, God is incomplete. A eureka moment. Samaritan woman. Woman of bad reputation. Woman that we warned brothers about. Don't stay close to her. You may never come back. A look can disorientate a man. Cause him to be dizzy. Till women disassociated themselves from her. Until church disassociated itself from her. During that time, if you were a church, and the Samaritan woman came to church, the deacon saw her and stopped her and said, "We don't accept this nonsense here." You would have rejoiced and said, "Oh, church is spiritual. They don't accept nonsense." They kicked her out. Do you see how they escorted her out? That was the type of woman. Come on, believers. Don't pretend like you don't know what I'm talking about. Which message church would have accommodated the Samaritan woman? Staying with the fifth one, is it the sixth one? That was not his. Having divorced five. Oh, no church would have accepted that. And rightly so. Because we only see on the surface. Our vision is limited. But God has got a spiritual X-ray. He can look down and see what is on the inside. And when Jesus was on his way to Samaria, he had a way that he could have taken. But the Bible says he had to go by the way of Samaria. What pulled him by the way of Samaria? There was a magnet. Hallelujah. And that magnet was not a revival tent. It was not a church. It was a prostitute. That even decided that I want to go alone. Before other women go there, I just want to go around this time so that I'm alone when I get there. Hallelujah. And Jesus sent the disciples to go and buy bread. And he remained there alone. And this woman came. And Jesus looked at the woman and said to the woman, "Give me water." Amen. And the woman said, "It is not customary that we Samaritans can converse in this manner with you Jews." And says, "Had you known the gift of God and the one that is speaking to you, you'd be the one that asking me water." Says, "But you don't have a pitcher." Says, "Woman, by the water that I have, if I give it to you, you'll never be thirsty ever again." Look at the conversation now. And the woman said, "Give me that water." And Jesus looked at the woman and said, "Go and get your husband." And the woman, look at how a conversation just takes extremes. One moment we talk about racial segregation. The next moment we talk about water. The next moment we talk about my personal affairs. "Go and get a husband." And she said, "I have none." Says, "Thou speakest the truth, because the sixth one that you stay with is not even yours." Right there, I don't know whether she must have avoided eye contact. Women had sobriety, even prostitutes had sobriety during that time. Maybe she was looking on the ground. And as they were conversing, when he got to a point where he said, "Even the sixth one that you stay with is not yours," she must have lifted her eye and now focused on him. Because now it was a question, what manner of man is this? How would a man know me in this manner? But as I often say, what attracted that woman is that although they were speaking about things that were vile, filthy in her life, but she picked up that there was a loving tone. Why would this man know so much about me and not be condescending, but have a mutual respect for me? And she looked and she said, We know when the Messiah cometh, he will tell us all things." And what you just did now, you are telling me all things. You are telling me things that I've done from A to Z. And you are a stranger. I've never laid my hands on you. And she looked at him. And she turned and said, "Sir, this is now the Eureka moment. Sir, I perceive that thou art the prophet." And Jesus said, "I am he." The woman took the pitcher, ran to the city, screamed at the top of her voice, "I have found him! Come and see a man!" That's what the Eureka moment does. It makes you to go to other people and say, "Come and see." I'm about to close. Brother Branham had a man called Bert Call. Bert Call, Brother Branham said, he was a dandy hunter. Very experienced hunter. He had experience on tracking animals. He can look at the footprints and be able to trace an animal. Now, Brother Bram said, although he was a good hunter, Bram says, when you hunt, shoot an animal if you are going to make use of it. We don't shoot animals for fun. Now, he says, this Bert Call, they went hunting. He says, he used to love just to kill, they call them fawns, the baby deers, for the fun of it. Then it says one time when he was with him, he realized he could see that there was the mother deer. And then when he got there, Brother Brum said he began to make out a whistle that came across that sounded like the baby deer cry. And Brother Brum says that man had a gun and he was pointing. He says right there, the mother deer moved out, because she could hear the sound of a baby deer and wanted to come and rescue the baby deer. He says, ordinarily, the mother would have never come out in light. No. He says she would have gone hiding, but that cry, it provoked a motherly instinct. And it says, the deer mother came out. And he says, When she came out, she caught the scent, the smell of the hunter. He says, ordinarily she should have run away. But because she kept on hearing that cry of the baby deer, she looked around, and Brother Branham says, right there, I could see that hunter pointing that barrel of a gun at that mother deer. And he says, actually, I could even see a cross on the heart of that mother deer. And Brother Branham says, I looked this way. And I said, any minute I knew that the bullet would rip the heart of the mother deer heart. And it says, while he was there looking this way, just waiting for the gun to go off. He says, after a couple of minutes, the gun never went off. When he looked, he found that the gun was now laying on the ground. And the man was kneeling down. And tears were streaming down his cheek. He says, Billy, lead me to that Jesus Christ. If he can make an animal to have that kind of love, I need that kind of love in my heart. What happened to the hunter? He had a Eureka moment. But what preached the gospel to him? An animal preached the gospel to him. If God has got to bring you in, he will use a donkey to preach an animal. He made the donkey to preach to Bilia. He will make animals to preach to you. For you to have your Eureka moment. And the moment a believer says, I have found him. As soon as a young girl says, I have found him. As soon as a man say, I have found him, the devil will never erase the experience that you have had when you had your Eureka moment. God bless you, Richard. How many remember the Eureka moment? I remember I walked into a church as an 11, I think I was 10, 11 years old. As you stand to our feet, musicians coming. I walked into a church. I took a seat as an 11-year-old boy. And there was a minister called Raymond Mugobi who was preaching. And he was preaching on marriage and divorce. And he held no punches. He just brought it home the way it was. And as I was sitting there as a young boy, at that moment I had a Eureka moment.
I realized that this gospel is not like any other gospel. I remember after church, I was in the car, we're driving home. I was in the back seat and I was just peeping through the window. And my mind was just drifting away. And I wondered what manner of gospel was that. And from that time, I realized that this message is different. And from that moment, I had my Eureka moment. And ever since that day, the devil has never taken that effect from me. Question would be, had I been in church before? I had been in church before. I remember as a 10-year-old boy, I used to go to a message church not knowing what was happening. I went there wearing my shirt. And I would relax there with my shirt and no one ever told me anything. But when that moment came, I don't know what happened to those shorts. I don't know what happened to those worldly desires, worldly appetite, because I had my Eureka moment. And I guess in the building, you all know your Eureka moment. I don't know how the gospel came your way, but you remember the day the gospel came your way. Some of you may have been born in the message, grew up in the message, took it for granted, but one day there might have been a minister that came from somewhere, or it might have been your pastor that preached the message, and it had an impact. And you went home and began to make things right and search these things. If you were sisters, they thought you lost your mind because you just changed your wardrobe. Some of you, you just remained with one dress and you said, this is the godly dress. I will stick with it for as long as I can till I get others that look like this. What happened? You had your Eureka moment. When you have got that Eureka moment, you are not afraid to let go. The greatest danger today, Christians can't let go. We hold on to stuff and they make us to sing. But I've got a message for you. God wants you to succeed. He wants you to prosper in the very thing that He has called you to. And I say, you've got to reconnect with Him. There's got to be a time where you pause. Because your Eureka moment is a time of introspection. It's a time of reflection. God bless you richly. I will say, I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, to my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Surrender your problem. Surrender your burdens. Surrender your worries. Surrender your habits. Surrender everything. He is the safety zone, friends. Say we surrender all tonight to our blessed Savior. I surrender all. All to Thee. Our blessed Savior. I surrender all. I surrender all. Thank you. to thee, my blessed Savior. All to him. Bartimaeus said, Son of David, have mercy on me. Maybe tonight you want him to have mercy on you. We're going to pray. We'll remember you in prayer. We want him to take over your battles. We want him to take over your burdens. If you you want us to remember in prayer, can indicate by raising your hand. Say, I would like to be remembered in prayer. Mine has gone up. I want to be remembered in prayer. I need him more than ever before. I need his guidance. I need his leadership. I need his protection, especially in this late hour. We will remember you as well in your corner, that may God be merciful in your corner. Just give you time to reflect. Is there an experience that has left you over time that you are saying, God, reignite the fire that I used to have burning in my soul. Renew my joy. Reconnect me to your blessings. I see hands have gone up. Many hands over in the building. Don't take it for granted and say it's Wednesday. God can do the miraculous on Wednesday. He can change the course of your life, and you can begin to say, from that time I was never the same. You don't need to tell me what your requests are. He knows your requests. He can search your heart and know what is in the heart. For the last time, before we all gonna pray, I want you to be like Samson and remember the past victories. Remember the battles that you fought, the battles that you won. I'm saying that God that enabled you to overcome all those battles, same God is in the building. I would want you not to give up. I want you not to give up. You cannot give up at this point in time. You come from far. You come, you have covered so much ground to give up now. Your testimony stands for itself. For many years, you cannot walk away from your stance today. Be resolute, believer. Be determined. Be more audacious and say, I'm coming out of this generation as a victor. The devil must never tell you that you cannot. He is a liar. Brother Brim say, God has got a sworn covenant with his people that his people can never fail. You cannot fail. And it's never late. It is never late. Like a prodigal son, you can look the master in the eye and say, in my father's house there are many blessings. I'm done. I'm not going to save any notice. I'm done. Today is the last time. I'm going back to my father's house. He is more than willing to accept me back into the household. He must never tell you that you can never be welcome back. Never. The blood of Jesus Christ shall never lose its power. It can forgive every sin. It can break every cycle. It can reverse every damage. It can wipe off every iniquity. As long as there is a confession through the mouth of the confessor and say, God, have mercy on me. God is loving. God is not like us. God is loving. You can never exhaust His grace. You can never exhaust His love. His love is unlimited. His grace is unlimited. His forgiveness is unlimited. He is more than willing to accept you back into the fold so that you can continue with Him where you left off. Some battles, they are known by you personally, but God is interested in those battles. Maybe through this, let it be your Eureka moment and say, I thought God was done with me. But through the preaching of the word, there's a new realization. There is still a place for me at the table of God. And I want to repeat, there is a place for you at the table of God. We all are needy people. We all are going to pray. I will pray you will repeat after me. As we pray, you'll repeat after me. Lord Jesus Christ,
Lord Jesus Christ,
we are your children.
We are your children.
We are not perfect.
We are not perfect.
Had we been perfect,
you would have never died on the cross.
You died on the cross
so that we, the imperfect
people, through your perfection, we can be perfected people.
And by grace,
this evening,
we accept your grace.
We accept your forgiveness.
We accept your love.
Lead us, God.
Guide us.
Protect us.
We are living during a dangerous time.
We are right in the end time.
And we need you more than ever before.
Because the enemy,
who is your enemy,
is more vicious today
than in the past ages.
But we believe
in your promise.
You said in your way,
I will be with you.
I will be in you
until the end of the world.
And here we are.
We need you, God.
You fought for the Israelites.
You brought the giants down.
You opened the seas.
You stopped the elements of the fire.
You did the miracles.
And this evening,
we lift you out of history.
We need you in our personal lives.
Some of us need deliverance.
We know you can deliver us.
Some of us, we need you to bring us back into the fold.
We know you can do that.
We've got loved ones that are out there
under the authority of the word.
We claim them wherever they are.
We don't care how far they have gone.
We know the hand of the Lord
can reach them
and bring them back into the fold.
Raise us as an army.
Raise us as an invincible army
to bring the enemy under subjection.
Because you said through the prophet,
the word of God
will defeat Satan
anytime,
anywhere,
and in any condition.
We believe that, Lord.
Let it be so.
We believe that
in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen and amen.
God bless you richly. Have a blessed week of what remains of it.
A tape a day keeps the devil away.
A scripture a day keeps the devil away.
A jubilant song in the heart of the believer keeps the devil away.
Continue to listen to that voice.
You remember the baby? As soon as the baby heard the mother's voice, the countenance changed.
When you listen to the voice of God in the end time, your countenance will change.
God bless you richly.
Maybe, Brother Clement, let us say, I don't know, maybe a worshiping song.
Reign King Jesus, Sister Sharon.
reign, King Jesus. God bless you. See you on Sunday. Amen. How many say reign?
Jesus reign.
Reign, King Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh,